Hi everybody, this is Gad Saad. I'll have more to comment regarding the events of last week, but I've been taking a bit of a social media break and it's been very helpful to my sanity, and it has absolutely nothing to do with Donald Trump. It turns out that I actually live my life independently of what random strangers think on the internet or what Donald Trump does or does not do. In any case, regarding the purge that's happening on social media, and also, the banning of Donald Trump from all the various platforms and what's happened to Parler and so on. Well, in The Parasitic Mind, I have a section in chapter three. The chapter is titled Non-Negotiable Elements of a Free and Modern Society. And I begin with the first section titled Very relevant to what's going on now, social media companies and free speech. And so what I thought I would do is I would read you this section. It's from pages 41 to 43, and it is very, very relevant to what is taking place today. And if you haven't purchased a copy of The Parasitic Mind yet, I hope that you will do so, because it truly does offer an explanation of how all of these idea pathogens have began, how they spread, and how we can inoculate ourselves against them. And if anything, with the incoming new administration in the US, the need for the parasitic mind will only continue to grow. So here we go. This is from page 41, Social Media Companies and Free Speech. Many people in the West have a poor understanding of the concept of free speech. Whenever I mute or block someone on social media, a cacophony of fools will accuse me of being a free speech hypocrite for, quote, silencing their voice. They do not understand that I have the right to walk away from their online taunts, insults, and idiocy. To do so is not, quote, restricting their speech, but expressing my right to avoid listening to them. This is an obvious point, and yet many people are confused by it. A second mistake is the mindlessly aped line, quote, Media companies are not the government. They have the right to choose which content will be carried on their platforms. Close quote. In a sane world, this would be a laughable position to hold, and yet it is endlessly repeated without any reflection on its nefarious implications. Google, YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter have more global control over us than all other companies combined. It is not hyperbole to say that they have more collective power in terms of the information they control than all the rulers, priests, and politicians of history. If knowledge is power, then these social media giants are nearly all powerful when they decide which information we can have and whether we can be allowed a social media platform. Big tech companies routinely ban right-leaning commentators, but of course, this is all an unfortunate, quote, algorithmic coincidence, close quote. What could be more sinister? Another tool that online companies use to repress free speech is going after your wallet. Of the 1,000 plus clips on my YouTube channel, roughly one third have been demonetized, albeit some are monetized again once I file a request for a manual review. Many of my clips are demonetized prior to my even posting them publicly. In other words, an algorithm automatically demonetizes my clips as a default setting. In other instances, money exchange portals such as Patreon and PayPal, which are used by online content creators to solicit financial support, have banned individuals whom they feel have violated one of their tenets of acceptable speech. Carl Benjamin, aka Sargon of Akkad, an influential YouTuber on whose show I have appeared on two occasions, was booted from Patreon. The company had uncovered a clip where he used the, quote, N-word as a means of mocking racists. Despite this context and the fact that the clip had not been produced on the Patreon platform, a key feature of their terms of use and hence not supported by his patrons, they deleted his account. This caused a gigantic backlash against Patreon. My good friends Jordan Peterson and Dave Rubin left the platform in protest, and many people pledged to boycott the company. But the boycott indirectly punished many other content creators who lost a huge amount of revenue. It cost me more than two-thirds of my financial support. As a libertarian, I am a fervent proponent of small government. I despise the never-ending and ever-increasing governmental encroachments into our daily lives. But it seems obvious that these online companies must be regulated as utilities. Just as your electricity or phone line is not shut off if the electric company or phone company doesn't like what you say, social media platforms should not be in the business of monitoring and punishing speech. So that puts an end to the part that I wanted to read from The Parasitic Mind. Let me just mention one or two additional things. The idea that Donald Trump incited violence directly, and therefore this falls under, you know, the proviso that speech is not protected if it's an incitement of violence. This is a very, very dangerous slippery slope, because while I'm not a lawyer, and I don't need to speak as though I am making legal arguments, just from a purely rational perspective, anything can become a form of incitement to violence through faux causality. And another section, by the way, that I discuss in the book deals with faux causality, where you try to attribute causality to things using a causal chain of explanations that are completely illusory. So Donald Trump did not behave properly. Donald Trump did stoke the fire. But that falls short of someone saying, hey guys, let's round up right now the Jews at this particular synagogue and torch them. That's a very clear and direct incitement to violence. The fact that he was, in my view, wrong in not accepting the results of the elections, and hence exhibiting or conveying his displeasure and telling the crowd to march on the Capitol Hill and, you know, express your protest and so on, that doesn't mean that he was literally calling for people to commit violence. Because think of it this way, prior to that particular dreadful event of last Wednesday, and by the way, let me mention here, since I'm talking about this, what happened last week was grotesque, but also what happened all summer with the noble protests was also grotesque. When you are making a judgment as to whether it is appropriate to use violence or not as a form of protest, you should put on your hat as a deontological ethicist, meaning that there's an absolute position to take whereby you say it is never okay to incorporate violence within your political protest, whether it's BLM who does it, or whether in this case it was a bunch of folks who decided to contest the defeat of Donald Trump. They're all execrable realities that we shouldn't tolerate in a free society. But to come back to the incitement of to violence argument, prior to the Wednesday event of last week, I think it was Wednesday, people were saying just the rhetoric of Donald Trump is stoking violence. His existence is stoking violence. By the way, in the Middle East, in many countries, the concept of fitna, right? By merely not being a member of the noble faith and practicing your faith, that's not the noble faith, you are engaging in mischief. And that itself is a form of violence, or you are triggering noble people. So the idea of how you can concoct a, quote, causal explanation so that it fits under the rubric of incitement to violence is a very dangerous slippery slope. And I know of some legal scholars who are actually weighing in on this point, which is incitement to violence has to be very, very clear. As I said before, if you were to say, hey everybody, let's head off to this Jewish school and kill all the people inside that school, that's a very clear and present direct incitement to violence. What Donald Trump did is, in my view, very bad. He's only stoking the fires of, getting people riled up. But that doesn't mean that the sitting president of the United States should be removed from these platforms. If they remove him, it becomes very easy to remove anyone, because if you say something against the COVID lockdowns, that's a form of violence, because there's an acceptable stance. And if you are against it, you're engaging in epidemiological violence. If you criticize Islam, it becomes a form of hate speech that marginalizes Muslim people, and so it becomes a form of indirect incitement to violence. So let's not criticize a religion. Let's not debate whether the COVID lockdown is good or not. Let us not air out whether we agree with the election results. Let us not state whether we feel that it was fraudulent or not, because that is a form of incitement to violence. So anything that is contrary to the accepted narrative becomes a incitement to violence. So it's a very, very dangerous slippery slope. We need to be very careful about it. We need to find a way to be able to disagree with each other while always being deontological when it comes to the foundational values that define free societies. To those people who thought that last week, again, I took a break because I could not handle Donald Trump's dictatorial behavior, you are truly just cretinous people. I had some health issues that I had to take care of. Luckily, knock on wood, things are doing okay, and had absolutely nothing to do with Donald Trump. The fact that someone who doesn't know me could post things regarding my wanting to take a break last week that is so diabolical, so evil, so void of empathy is simply astonishing. And it explains why people don't want to participate in the public debate of ideas, because you better get ready to get smashed day and night. And I should also mention, one or two idiots said, "What kind of honey badger are you if you decide to take a break?" So would you have told me the same thing if I were suffering from pneumonia? Would you have said, "Hey, you're not a honey badger"? Guess what, cretin? My honey badger credentials were met 20 years ago when I began talking about these things. In one day, I engage in more honey badger behavior than most of the cretins who ever criticize me will in 20 lifetimes. So try to be a bit more sympathetic. Try to understand that people may have other issues that they're dealing with in their life. Try to be a bit more kind. Yes, debate ferociously ideas, but maybe give people the benefit of the doubt, because some of us have nothing but purity in our heart. Cheers, everybody. Have a good day.